to Movie Night with your hosts, Dwayne Perkins and TK Kelly.
Hey, boys and girls, welcome to the Movie Night podcast. I'm Dwayne Perkins, joined as always by my hilarious co-host, TK Kelly. Each week, we watch a movie, have a special guest. They hopefully watch the movie as well, and we meet up here to discuss.
Yeah, it helps if they do. It really does. Our guest this week is a hilarious comedian and a good buddy of ours. We haven't seen him in a while. It's great to have him here. Andrew Slater, what is up?
What's up, guys? I detected a little, passive-aggressive shot at prior guests where they
everyone's watched it.
Like people didn't do the homework of watching a movie.
Actually, I may have jinxed us. No, we've never had that happen.
Never had it?
What a bold move that was. Right, right. To agree to do the podcast and be like, oh no, I didn't feel like watching it. I'm just going to guess what happens. You guys might know Andrew Slater from his podcast called Let's Get Brant Married, which he hosts along with another great comedian, Brant Tobler. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I'm a married guy, been married for 2 years now, going on 3 years.
One of us.
And my friend Brant, the thing about, he's like very, very single, like was like the most, but he's
very, very single.
Yeah, as single as you can probably get, or was, but then now he's like turned 40 and he wants to like settle down and stuff. So the whole podcast is geared around trying to find him a wife. So it's like strategies, dating tips. We bring on women who have advice, stuff like that. My mom comes on, tells him what he's doing.
Get out. I got to check that out. Now, if he gets married, then it's over. You have to find
podcast
a new person.
Is over.
Until Brant gets divorced.
Yeah, exactly. Or we talk, then it just is two married guys talking. I don't know. Yeah, we figured we'd cross that bridge.
Yeah, it could evolve. The important thing in that situation would be Brant gets married. That's great.
Right. Yeah, like Serial, they did a sequel to, right?
Yeah. So you like to compare his impending marriage to murder podcasts.
Yes.
Like that.
Did he or did he not?
So what made you think to make a podcast? Podcasts are fucking everywhere and, it's hard to be unique.
Yeah. And
we're not, you know, but like that's a really interesting idea.
Well, so a couple things. One, Brant moved to Denver. So, and he's just my good buddy and I don't get to see him as much. So we were working and we did shows in Boise, Idaho together. And then we were like, man, we should do a podcast, but it's the same thing you just said. Like, I was like, I'd never done one and I didn't want to add to the, so it's like, we got to come up with a good idea. And then that we were just talking later and that came up organically and we're like, oh, that would be pretty funny to like, just go over every horrible date or, you know, all the bullshit he does life.
And the one thing that strikes me is that, and you know, I know it's a stereotype, that's not true, but what you see and what, you know, what you experience sometimes, what you see on TV is that women are usually kind of like, you know, itching for it to go down. So it seems like when a guy becomes ready, then everything just should open up. But I know it doesn't work like that. Like,
no.
When, you know, in Carlito's way, just because you want to leave the game doesn't mean you leave the game.
Right. The game ain't done with you.
Right. No, and Brant actually said that, like, I feel like it's like a spoiler alert or whatever, but he does currently have a girlfriend. Okay. He started single. So he has a girlfriend.
And how long has it been going?
A few weeks.
Okay.
Just a few weeks. Well, a few weeks since he would like, this is my girlfriend.
No, I mean the podcast.
Oh, the podcast? We're like at 17 episodes or something like that.
Nice,
one
nice.
A week.
Yeah, all right, so he's making progress early on.
Yeah, I mean, it's happening. Well, I mean, you know, who knows if they're going to get married. I feel like my mom all the time. I'm like, so then what if you guys get married? It's like, I've been dating for a couple weeks. It's like, settle down. You're going to ruin it. And so, but he said, because like, early on, women would listen, and you know, we'd get a lot of feedback, positive and negative, of course. But then, when he started dating the girl he dates now, and he's like, "It's so funny because he's like, right now I'm hotter than ever. I get messages from women all the time, like, oh, I heard about your podcast. I would, you know." He's like, and he's like, and now I have a girlfriend. He's like, "Where were you when I was single?"
Yeah.
And so,
well, you know, ironic. It seems like a little bit of the secret going on, like you put it out there, this is what you want, and then the universe conspires to make it happen.
Right. This is the most 2018 version of The Secret, where if you just make a podcast about what you want.
So you're gonna, I feel like you're going to sell the movie rights to this podcast. Right. This is great.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a romantic comedy. We've already figured it out.
That's great.
Yeah, because he had a couple girls he was dating that then they would listen to the podcast and then get pissed off by the way he articulated the events of the date.
Yeah.
Like, I see.
He had one where she was going to meet him downtown in Denver and it was like St. Patrick's Day and she couldn't park or something. And just the way he told that story, she was like, that's not how it happened at all. And it kind of sent things south from there.
But yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting.
So the current girlfriend.
Yes.
Does she know about the podcast?
Yeah. But it's unclear as to whether she listens or not. Because
she says she doesn't.
But
and then when Grant's she
like,
does,
every once in a while she'll like slip up and reference something.
Well, I'll tell you what. Funny. In the movie, in the movie version, she wouldn't start out listening to it.
No, right.
But then her friends. There's always that one pesky meddling friend, in Scooby Doo, and that friend will listen and convey things back. Or
that's what's maybe going on. Family members, like a sister. Brother or something listening just to make sure he's on the up and up.
He could also just get some Indian parents. They're pretty good at making it happen, setting up
arrangement.
That could be a future episode. Yeah. Just rent
we should do one about arranged marriage and like the pros and cons. I've heard that they're better than the percentage,
the success rate. Yeah. But then, like, you want, I don't know.
I think you have a lower expectation going in.
I think it's cultural, too, right. Where, like, if you arranged American marriages, they would be dissolved within weeks, like, most of them.
Right.
People wouldn't get over it. They would just be like, I didn't pick this thing.
But it's an interesting idea. Maybe if things keep progressing with the podcast, that's what it evolves into. You eventually just tell him who he's going to marry.
Yeah, I'm the Indian parent. Oh, that'd be sweet
if he gave me that kind of power. Who would you pick?
Man.
Like not who like a name, but like the prototype. Like who?
Well, see, I don't want to go down this road now because the girl he's dating is like, I would pick her, match. I guess. I haven't even met her.
You are like a mom right now. You know, I'm like, listen, I don't want to fuck things up.
Pick her.
I don't want to sabotage anything.
Well, the main thing is I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you go.
Well, you can't be a swinger your whole life.
Oh, I think that's Dwayne. The
thing. Wow, well done.
Dwayne, I mean, this one felt like it was building to it. Like you're a professional. It was the right kind of. This guy gets it. Master of the transition, Dwayne Perkins has told us this movie for this episode is Swingers from 1996, directed by Doug Liman, starring Jon Favreau, Vince Vaughn, Heather Graham, Ron Livingston. And I want to shout out our listener who suggested this a while back. I hope he's still a listener. Steve Berger wanted us to talk about
Steve,
it.
Oh, Steve, we got to make
Berger Man.
We'll make sure we tweet him. And our friend, my friend Ahmed is in this movie too.
Dude, I saw that so quick, and I was like, "Oh shit, he's been on the podcast." Listeners know him, but that was such a quick turn. I was like, "Holy shit, was that him?"
That's what he's good friends with Trent.
Trent, Vince Vaughn.
Vince Vaughn, yes.
Oh yeah, because he does like he's in all that Wild West
stuff.
So, what do we think of this movie?
Well, I forgot, speaking of comedians, I forgot that he is a comedian in the movie.
Me too.
Completely forgot that.
Which is so humiliating as a comic. They're like, what's the loser job this guy could pretend to have?
Also, no Mike on Mondays. Yeah, I forgot about that, but it also kind of made me love it even more because it was like, I mean, after having been in LA, I think this movie's in a very different lens where it's just
absolutely.
Like it gets the city and the people so correct.
Right.
And you identify with it so much. I already felt like if you've ever been through a breakup of anything long term, like this is an amazingly accurate representation of like the volatility of it.
Right.
But then on top of that, now it's like he's a fucking comedian and he's living in LA. I was like, this movie.
Right.
It captures experiences that I've had so well.
Yeah, it's very triggering for me. I was like, when that part when he gets called out by the Vegas waitress for not actually having an agent. So he's like, It's like, oh, you ever play Vegas? He's like, oh, no, you know, it's different circuits. And yeah, then she's right, like, right. Oh, do you have a booking agent? He's like, well, I just came from the East Coast. I don't have a West Coast agent. And like, who's your East Coast agent? Well, I kind of just booked myself.
And well, I'm like, just going to fucking kill myself.
I know. I was like, every conversation.
What was great about that is then he tries to front when he comes back to L.A., he's right. Like, yeah, I got a booking agent. Things are going well. He's like, I'm just going to get ahead and lie.
Yep. Yeah.
But then the girl's like, wait, I know you from somewhere.
You applied for a job.
Oh, it must have been a long time ago. No, it was like 2 weeks ago. And I think, I don't know if this is the first movie to do it, but I love that kind of comedy. And you see it a lot more as the 90s went on. Like in the face of a lie, you just keep denying it.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm sure that's as old as comedy is, but it's just something, that tool you see more and more.
Yeah.
Like rev up in the 90s, yeah. Especially until like it gets to the like Will Ferrell movies, which yeah. is like a ridiculous version of that, you know?
It's so funny watching a guy who's like, at least from his perspective, is so down on his luck, like shit has just not been going well.
Right.
And then every time he seems to kind of get up and he's like, I'm gonna give it a shot. I'm gonna talk to this girl. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna do that. He fucks it up immediately. And it's like, God, man, that is... It's hard to watch. It's hard to watch
this
movie.
It's very hard to watch.
Sometimes it's very hard to watch, yeah.
Yeah. And then I don't know who I could get more mad at during... Because sometimes I do relate to him, like the Vince Vaughn friend. I've had that guy in my ear all the time. And that, the more they push, like the more annoyed you get and you don't want to go out and stuff. At certain times I'm like, I don't know who I'm madder at right now.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of... It's a frustrating watch, but it's really enjoyable because you are mad at Trent, who won't ever shut the fuck up, and you are mad at Mike for being the biggest pussy in the world. Yeah. And it's also like they're kind of douchebags, and like they're good people, I think, at their core, but they're fucking douchebags. And watching it back, where it's like they're in the swing music, I'm like, I would fucking hate these guys.
Right, I know.
But it's still, there's something about it that just works.
But you know, the thing I look at it, I almost long for those days now because they were douchey. They were in the swing, which was a thing, especially I think in L.A.
What a dark time.
but to me, it's like, I don't know, no disrespect, but I prefer them over hipsters, you know, if I had to choose.
Right.
I just think because like Mike, you know, John Favreau's character is a big pussy, but there's something like... They're just guys in their 20s trying to find their way.
Yeah, they're very real guys in their 20s.
Dudes in their 20s, right?
You have to definitely put that lens in it. Like, you used to be that asshole. So
this is what guys used to be in their 20s. Now every guy is trying to be so enlightened.
Right.
It's like, be a guy, go through it, and then at the other end, come out enlightened. You know what I mean?
What you just said is very interesting, and then also made me think of, it's interesting that they're broke. Like, usually the characters who wear the suits and are going to go to Vegas on a whim. In a movie, those guys are always rich. So they're always, like, trust fund kids, or they just have money for some reason, or good jobs or whatever. But I love that they're broke. And then that character now, if you're broke, you're either, like, a stoner or, like, you said, like, a hipster or something or whatever. It's just, you're right. Like, you don't see like the broke guy who's also into Vegas and nightclubs and stuff.
Yeah.
Right. And that's every person, really.
Yeah.
Most people out here like
that. It's so identifiable too, of being like at that age where it's like, I'm just going to spend all of my income on going out and drinking and having a good time. Like, and I'm not going to have any money for anything else. I'm going to live in a shithole apartment, but I'm going to enjoy myself.
Nice car. And when you have that kind of energy to go to Vegas without a hotel room.
That's
like some young shit.
I just have to deal with it.
Sleep in your car.
I forget though that like in between that crazy scene in the trailer and them driving to Vegas, which is still fucking hilarious when you see them losing energy. Because I always hate when movies make it seem like that's a quick, easy drive. Like, you're definitely losing steam on that drive. But I kind of forgot that they didn't go to a good casino. They went to the fucking off the beaten path, filled with old people.
And
where they drove to in the middle of the night to go party.
There's so much comedy in this movie because they go to old Vegas, right? And still somehow wind up at a table where like the minimum bet is $100,
which is crazy. By the way, that takes like suspending disbelief a little bit.
Well, that's
like,
because you're
$100 a hand.
Yes,
you've been to Vegas,
right?
You know?
Right. Yeah. But it's like I love it though because I love being brought back to that feeling of when $300 was like it.
Yes,
if I lose $300, I might have to move home. I love that, like, that was the amount that they chose.
Yeah, you know exactly. I mean? I really enjoy the fact that, like, Jon Favreau he represents a guy at that age so well, of like the whole way there, and especially when they get there, he's telling Vince Vaughn what to do and what not to do. He's like, they gotta buy that we're rich, they gotta believe it, we gotta put on this show for them. And he's like supremely confident that he knows how to do that, and as soon as he fucking gets to the table, he just clearly is like deer in the headlights, know what he's doing.
And it's great too, because they just keep falling into like good fortune in a sense. The old lady, so they end up at this high roller table by mistake, lose all their money or most of it. Then he has to go with the schleps.
Right.
And then the old lady, who has no idea what she's doing, she hits on
Oh, I love it.
She hits on 17.
She hits on 17.
It was 15. I think it was 12, 15, 17, 21.
Yeah. Like, I mean, she hit on
17. Oh, my God. Yeah,
and then they comp her. Then they give her free breakfast.
It's so great. And it also, it does feel like that. It's that time of your life where you talk this big game, and from one moment to the next, like, you think you're the shit, and then you're I'm the worst. Fucking no anything.
And it's weird because, like, believe it or not, they were all doing pretty decent because they all had auditions. Like, a lot of people in that position don't have auditions. And even they said to the Mikey character, you're doing the best. You have an agent. You know, you're doing things.
Yeah, which, like, I came out here because I thought you were making it. Like,
that's crazy.
Making it to other people is so different.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's very easy to identify with that, too, in this movie, of, like, the mentality that you're not doing anything, when it's like, you're not doing nothing.
Right.
As broke as he was, like, $300, but he had his own apartment.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I was thinking when I was watching it. I was like, he has no roommates. Like, that's pretty
He's living solo.
Good.
This guy's killing it.
That's
yeah.
And to me, I long for this. That L.A. is the L.A. I long for, in a sense, only because, like, I think they were basically, they were trying to copy, like, 50s and 60s, or maybe 30s and 40s. That whole swing thing was just sort of like them copying an earlier time.
Yeah.
And kind of, like, bringing back old LA.
Yeah, it was like getting reacquainted with that. Yeah,
like
the original
Chinatown LA then. Mm-hmm. And I just think now what LA's become, the, like, gentrification, but not only of, like, ethnic neighborhoods. I mean, like, white neighborhoods that are, like, now different white people live there.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, just
they've been replaced by even better whites.
Right. They've been pushing out white people.
And all these buildings, I like the architecture, but, you know, you see, like, on a street like this, right? Regular house. Then, like, there's this box thing.
Oh,
with
I
all
fucking
glass.
Hate that. Yeah. There are so many of those. It's like, no one's even trying to blend in with the architecture of the city.
No.
They're like, now we're going to put a bunch of houses that look like refrigerators fucking all next to, like, these beautiful old Spanish homes. It's terrible.
And so in this Swingers, it's L.A. without those homes, mm-hmm. without those. I like them, but they're eyesores, right? They don't fit in at all.
They don't belong.
And without cell phones.
Yeah.
It's just a different time.
Oh, yeah, man.
Oh, yeah. We should talk about that. The technology thing is incredible.
It's big.
I love
how much different the movie is with cell phones.
Yeah, it's crazy to just think, like, it was because it happened so quickly, the explosion of, like, you are always reachable now.
Right.
That you go back. This movie's not that old. It's from 96, but that was like, you could just hole up in your place for 2 days and not answer your landline phone. Like, you could disappear. Like, there's no doing that. There's no getting away anymore. And it feels, I don't know. I feel like I miss the realness of, like, having to make plans that way of, like, I'm going to call you on your landline. We're going to all come over to this guy's place at 8. We're going to meet there. We're going to hang out there for a while. Then we're going to go to this spot. And, like, if you want to meet up with us, we might be here, 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 or here. It was just more interesting. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Do you think it would be worse to be Mikey, you know, pining away for a phone call from your ex-girlfriend then, when he would have to, like, check, so you'd have, like, the 8 hours of uncertainty, and then, like, he has to, like, check the messages when they're in the trailer in Vegas.
Yeah.
Like, so funny. But then, or do you think it'd be worse right now when you're, like, it's, like, every second of every day know she
that's
has
hard to say.
You.
That's a tough one.
It's also, it's so much easier to reach
too.
You. Yeah.
Right.
You can be aware of what she's doing and why she's not in touch with you.
I would say that it's easier now only because even though Mikey gets lucky, like he could definitely hook up with the girl in Vegas.
Right.
If he wanted to just sort of clear his head. He could definitely hook up with this with Heather Graham, but he wants to wait.
Yeah.
Even the girl that he blows at, that phone call is so uncomfortable. He could probably...
That scene is... I don't know if I hate a scene more, but I like it. But I fucking hate watching it.
I hit pause, and I was like, I had to like gather myself.
You cannot believe how many messages he fucking leaves. Yeah. It is mind-blowing. Like at three, I was like, oh yeah, I guess this... I remember this is where she calls, and she says, don't ever call me again. Really that was ridiculous. Like 7 calls later.
It's really ridiculous. But I think now it's easier only because... In terms of that distraction, like you can stalk her. That may make you go crazy. But in stalking her, you can get on Tinder. You can
I think it's easier to move on now.
Yeah,
it's easier to get distracted.
And we do that with everything, right? It's just easier to get your mind off of anything.
Yeah, like even the news cycle. Like we're mad about something.
Yeah,
and then like 2 days later,
you forget it even happened.
Yeah,
but not like back then. I do think you're thinking in all those 8 hours you're away from the phone, you're thinking about.
And there's more hope. There's more hope because
and more build up and let down and build up and let down. That's the thing that's hard to watch because I feel like I remember a little bit when that was like still an issue when you wanted somebody to call and it had to be on your phone at home.
Right.
It feels like an eternity.
Yeah.
And now, because now too, like they would get the phone number and there's the whole debate how long you should wait. And it's crazy because like the Vince Vaughn character and the other guy, they're like, 3 days.
Right.
They said 2 days, but it's really three.
And then
they go,
six.
How long would you take? Six.
Six. And that's like so matter of fact. They're like, obviously six, dude. Right. You wouldn't have to ask. Yeah.
But now you can like, you can text. And if it's like done and just so, it's not too creepy. It's not a phone call.
That's the goal. Just not too creepy.
Yeah. And now this movie's, I like the dress and all of that.
It's a spectacle now, maybe more so than when it came out. I do like that we're only going back to 96, but because of the world they centered it on, it feels like we're going back even further
maybe
than
94,
that.
93. Yeah.
But to me, it feels like you're going back to that time too with swing music and the types of places that they're hanging out in feels so old Hollywood. So it almost feels like half a period piece.
It's like, but this is like the last bastion. This is like the last of old Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
Before it really just whatever it is now,
like whatever the fuck I'm looking at right now,
like the golden era, from like the stars of yesteryear. This was the last little bit left. They kind of squeezed it out, in my opinion.
Look, they all found parking spots. What
and
the fuck?
And you could be cool.
I don't know that LA.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah,
you could be cool when you weren't cool. Like just put on a bowling shirt.
Yeah.
Stupid chain hanging from you. You know
long,
what I mean?
Long chain. How is that not getting caught on stuff? Seems like more trouble than anything. Let's get into these games while we have a little bit of time. We got to do a quicker episode today. But let's make a drinking game out of this movie. So every time something repetitive happens, you have to take a drink. What do you think, Dwayne?
Well, I had two choices. Let me see which one I'm going to go with. I think... Oh, this is tough. Really tough. But I think every time Favreau, Mikey, every time he sighs a lot in this movie. Like, there's a lot of...
look, he's a little bitch.
Yeah, like
but sometimes you get sad and you're a little bitch. That's what happens. There's no getting around it. Like, I totally get why his friends are like flipping out on him. Like, shut the fuck up. You're the biggest pussy in the world.
He's such a bitch that he just, like, he justifies Vince Vaughn's character. Like, you're like, that guy would be annoying,
right?
But he needs to be that way to balance out how much of a bitch you are.
Oh, yeah.
How much of a pussy you be.
I think he makes him more pathetic. It's like that thing where the more you call, like, you know, if there's a kid and they're starting to cry and you go, what are you going to cry? It only makes him cry more. I almost think like that he's just like reinforcing all the like, stuff and like making him think about it more and being like, oh, I am being pathetic. I should go out to Vegas. Because like there's no way going to Vegas at midnight is like
it's
the
gonna
right
make
move.
Things, but of course
you know what I mean?
Well, they do a good job of covering those two different friends where he's got the Ron Livingston friend where it's like this is the guy who will listen to you, bitch, and not call you out too much for it and not judge you too much for it. And then there's the other friend who thinks it's the complete opposite where it's like, we got to go to the fucking strip club or we're going to Vegas. It's there's these two different approaches to just getting him to snap the fuck out of it.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's really, that's what makes the extremes of their emotions kind of tolerable to me. Like, that's what makes Trent tolerable, because he's fucking annoying, but his intentions are completely in the right place.
Oh, and he loves him.
And he just wants his buddy to, like, suck it up and be himself, you know?
And when he gets angry in a diner, that's a real interesting moment, because we get to see, like...
Oh, there's something back there.
Yeah, there's something underneath all that talking.
Yeah, he's not. Yes. Yeah. He's exactly as full of shit as you think he is. Mine would have to be, speaking of Trent, every time he says babies in a sexual way, it's very weird.
You're going to get so drunk.
It's very uncomfortable. A lot of beautiful babies.
Yeah, that's way too drunk.
but
in a sexual, because sometimes he says babies.
He says it an insane amount. Yeah. Or maybe like a more general version would just be like every time you flip back and forth on whether you love or hate Trent, because you kind of go up and down.
That's a good one.
And especially that scene when he's so drunk at the end in the diner is so funny. And then half of you is like, I would fucking punch him if I was with him and he was jumping up on the table like a lunatic. Yeah. And all of this because he's just finally, I think, at a point where he's happy that his friend is good and he's shit-faced, obviously, just like, let's go.
Right.
He's brutal.
Yeah, you go back and forth with him for sure.
It's that guy where every other time you hang out with him, you're like, I don't think I should be friends with this guy anymore. He's a fucking asshole. What do you think, Slater? What's your drinking game?
The one that came to mind first was every time, as a viewer, every time you wince. So any
ooh,
wince.
That's a
lot.
Good.
A whole lot of that's wincing.
Wincing.
Because a lot of his jokes fall flat, which was going
to
be another one.
Oh, that's hard to watch.
That's painful, because he keeps trying these jokes in when he shouldn't try them, which is a comic thing to do.
Huh? How about when he's like, we're not in Kansas anymore. Oh, and then they're like, what do you do? I'm a comedian.
Yes, exactly. That was my favorite choice, I think, that they made in the movie, was to make him a comedian but never let him
never
be funny.
Never let
him be funny. He's not on stage. It's very amusing to me, because I'm like, I fucking know this person. Yeah, I felt like this person. When you make a joke in the wrong context and like it just falls flat and you're like, fuck.
It's crazy. He was smart. He was smart, obviously, so you could... You could buy that he could be a decent comic.
No question.
But he just, the social cues, he just...
He was nervous and he was uncomfortable. So it was like, it's really, that didn't mean he wasn't funny, but he didn't get to be funny here. And I like that a lot. Yeah. Let's come up with a new Oscars category that this movie would have won for. For me, it has to be Best Picture at referencing other pictures.
There's
a lot of self-referential movie stuff and the whole LA scene in general, but there's movie posters everywhere. They talk about Jaws, Goodfellas, Casino,
Tarantino,
Reservoir Dogs. Yeah. So it's, I think if you really like movies, I think that's why this movie stuck with me as a kid, because I liked movies so much and these guys liked movies so much. I was like, they're fucking cool.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
What do you think, Dwayne?
I would say best encapsulation of the 90s. Like, you know, this movie is almost like if you could put one thing in a time machine, you know, there's not much hip hop, but they do reference it because they call those guys House of Pain. But that's all it's missing in terms of like what the 90s were. Like this, like Friends, if you made Friends like a little more real and they didn't have like this massive apartment in New York City, you know, then it would be more like this. So I think this really captures the 90s from like look, style, you know, just frame of mind where people were, that people that age.
Yeah, I agree. What do you think, man?
Mine's a little convoluted, but so I read a little bit about the movie too, and it's like it was very biographical about like Jon Favreau really was kind of like that, and Vince Vaughn really was kind of like that when they were coming up in Hollywood. So to me, it's the best semi-autobiographical and movie where you have to suspend your disbelief that it's not going to work out.
Yeah.
Like we have any concept that Jon Favreau doesn't turn into a billionaire movie director.
Right. Yeah.
Like
we
know it. We know what happens to this guy, but you're still able to be like, no, he's going to be a loser forever. There's no way.
Yeah. And they did some other movies that were good. The one with Puffy where they were like, I think it was them. They were kind of like losers. The one with Puffy, it was in New York, set in New York. They crossed the mob. I'll get the name of it.
Yeah, I don't know that one.
Oh yeah.
Favreau's done a lot.
Man, what the fuck was that called? Yeah, it was a mafia movie. It was pretty good. yeah, it's funny that this is so, like, even like to the point where Jon Favreau was that guy in that group, and Vince right. Vaughn was, and so even Ron Livingston was, and it's like, you could easily see how writing that movie and making that movie might be a terrible idea, where it's like, this is exactly what our lives are, and, yeah. and we're going to have our friends play themselves, and this, and it comes together so well.
It's like
so
the ultimate dork fantasy, right? Yeah. It's like, you're always like, yeah, you're making fun of me now, but I'm going to write it all down and make it this, I'm going to be a famous movie director and because of it.
And
like,
huge.
It actually happened.
This movie was fucking huge. The thing it was such a big hit.
Was it like a little indie movie?
Yeah, this was an indie movie. Well, I guess I read that the director, Doug Liman, wanted to make the script. Studios were interested, but they wanted to cast who they wanted to cast, and he wanted to make it with the guys who wrote it. They did. They just raised the money themselves and made it.
That's great. And this, you know, this movie is before. What's great about that? Not only did they become stars, but like the best things happen before the barrier to entry gets removed. You know, like anyone can make a movie now, but back then it was like, how do you do this?
Yeah.
You know, like, so to make your own movie, like back then, you know, you had to like be a bit, you know, a bit more crafty and I'm sure some sucked, but this was like amazing on many levels that they even made it.
It works. It completely works. Let's wrap it up real quick. Let's sum up this movie in 5 words. For me, it is hang up the fucking phone.
Yeah.
Oh, you just want him to hang up the fucking phone every time. It's brutal, but I love it. You identify with it. It works. What do you think, Dwayne?
My God. Just very simple. Getting over people takes time.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's true, man. You know, one day you just wake up and you're okay.
That turn was a little quick.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a little quick, but
At the end.
That was super quick.
When she's like, I love saying you, I love you, and hang, like, yeah, it's like, oh my God, where did this guy come? That's it took is one person to call him back.
Because I guess he loved how the grandma, he felt like that tingling sensation.
Finally felt that like moving forward thing, I think. But that is, that makes that moment great, because you do, part of you thinks like, there's no way he's hanging up, because he just decided he was done with her. He's definitely going to take the call, and he doesn't. So it's so satisfying that like, good man, because that shit's not going to work out, you know?
Right, well, that's sort of like, you know, that's like the Karate Kid when he raises his hands and does the crane. That was that moment.
Yeah.
You know, you got it.
Close it down for us, Slater. What do you think, man?
Makes me want to die. Like, there were so many times where I just wanted to crawl inside of my own. But it's great.
You've either been in his shoes, or you've been in his friend's shoes.
Related to it too.
Either
much,
way, it's
too
awful. Many times. Yeah. It's one of those movies where you're like, man, I'm glad I just watched that. And like, now it's probably going to be a really long time before I watch it again.
Yeah.
Or, it's a little too much.
I think I would watch, but skip certain parts.
Yes.
Just skip over the phone call.
I remember how brutal this is. I can't be a part of it. Yeah. That about does it for this week. Andrew, thanks so much for being here, man.
Thanks for having me.
Tell everybody where to find you online and coming up, all that sort of stuff.
AndrewComedy.com. You can get all the info there. I have a album out, just came out a couple weeks ago, called The Great Baxby. So you can check that out on iTunes, Amazon, and Twitter, Facebook, all that stuff. Just Andrew Slater. So
check him out, guys.
DwaynePerkins.com is the website. FunnyDP is the Twitter handle. Check my website. I'm in and around Los Angeles, and in late June, July, I'll be in Asia.
I am at TK Kelly Comedy on Twitter and Instagram. I'll be doing some shows in New York and kind of all over New England in June. If you're in that area, come check me out. Also, follow us at Movie Nightcast on Twitter, on Instagram. Hit us up. And thanks again to listener Steve Berger for suggesting Swingers. It had been way too long since we watched this, and it was fucking great. So thank you for pushing us in that direction. And tune in next week, guys.